أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما
اللهم صل على محمد
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين صلاة
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها صدق الله العظيم صلاة
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
As usual, we've got a topic and we've got an aim. Somewhere we want to reach in these 10 days or 9 days, 9 dhammacakkas. And then hopefully we'll take it through to the year. So the topic for this year is Asma'ul Husna, or the attributes of Allah. Now you have a chart with you, which has the 99 attributes. I'll talk my way through it. But the idea is to be able to understand them, to implement them in our lives. And I'll take it step by step. So if anybody were to ask you, what is the name? Or what do we want to do? Or we want to fall in love with the Rabb of Hussein. And the only way you fall in love with someone, I don't even like saying falling in love, because that means you go, you know, it's like, see somebody across the room and you're gone. It's not like that. It's really understanding and being able to be in love with the Rabb of Hussein through Asma'ul Husna. And I'll take you through each little bit as it goes along, okay? So first of all, Asma'ul Husna, the most beautiful names, is actually his attributes. Let me give you an example. First of all, let's go to name. What is a name? So if I were to say mom, for those who are older and understand, especially those who are mothers, the moment you say mom, it evokes a whole range of emotions immediately. The moment you say mom, you tell me mom, I have no words. I should sit down and cry. Those of you who have moms, please respect your moms, because moms are absolutely awesome. So a name evokes emotion. If I say ghost, immediately, or I say jinn, if I told you there's a jinn up there, you'd keep on looking up there, because that would invoke mystery and fear. That's what names do. And with people, names and attributes don't go together. With Allah, every attribute is, or every name is his attribute. I'll give you an example. So I have my friend Zeenat sitting there, right? If Zeenat didn't know how to read or write, she's awesome at it, she'd still be Zeenat. If Zeenat didn't know how to cook, and she cooks beautifully, she'd still be Zeenat, right? However, Allah and his attributes, you can't even take one of them out, because his attributes are a description of him. So you cannot separate Allah from his attributes. Now, let's just look at what it is in a name. A name evokes a series of emotions. So I'll start off with mom. Mom evokes love. Mom evokes somewhere you go to. If I were to say ghost or jinn, it's fear. If I were to say robber, you'd worry. Right? So every single name evokes an emotion. A
That's what it means to. Here, names are an attribute. For human beings, you can separate the name from the attribute. But for Allah, his attribute is part of who he is. So that's something we've got to just put into our heads. Now let me just explain what an attribute is. We are born with some attributes. So, for example, physical attributes. The color of our skin, our eyes, our hair, whether we're tall or short. These are attributes we are born with. But there are many attributes that we inculcate in ourselves as we grow up. So, let's look at some attributes like personality attributes. If you were to ask, what is this person like? You'll say she's quiet, she's serious, or she's fun-loving and she smiles all the time. You can have character attributes. She's honest, she's kind, she's angry, I'm scared to approach her. The Prophet was known as TDC. Now those of you who hear me every year know that these are the attributes that the Prophet had. TTC. Trustworthy, truthful, and compassionate. Alright, so TTC is something you and I wish to incorporate in ourselves. Truthful, trustworthy, and compassionate. But these are all part of attributes of a human being. And let's look at what Allah says about these names in the Quran. So surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 31. He says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ أَسْمَاءُ كُلَّهَا. You'll know this ayah. We taught Adam all the names. What does that mean? Does that mean that he just read out these names in a row? So Adam really learned these names. We had a little girl at workshop. And she came in one term. And she said, Umi auntie, I am going to Jannah. I said, oh my goodness, will you take me with you? Because I'm told you're allowed to take 10 people. But she thought about it. She went, Mom, Dad. And then she came to 8 and she said, yeah, maybe I can squeeze you in. I said, if you take me in, maybe I can take another 10. But you need to teach me how you are so sure that you will go to Jannah. She says, very simple. The books that you gave out at the end of the year, she said, that says that if you learn the 99 names, you will go to Jannah. Let me tell you the hadith. It says, لِلَّهِ تِسْأَةٍ وَتَسْعُنَةٍ is asma. Allah has 99 names. Now there are two versions. One says, مَنْ حَفِذَ هَذَا خَلَى جَنَّةٍ. One who memorizes, one who commits them to memory, one who protects them will enter Jannah. The other hadith says, مَنْ أَحْسَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. One who commits, lives by them, will enter Jannah. Now she as a 5-year-old could recite all of them, the ones that you've got in your hands, and she knew them by heart. But that's not what Asma'ul Husna means. When Allah teaches Adam these names, it's to awaken the human consciousness to the divinity within him or her, so you and I know that we can reach a potential that is limitless. I said that a bit quickly. It means that you and I are not just a small entity. You and I are something far greater. We have the potential in us to do so much. Don't allow anyone to limit you. That's basically what Asma'ul Husna are about. Today's just an introduction. But all I want to tell you is that within you and me are ingrained all 99 qualities. And I say 99, I mean, there are loads. Josh and Kabir has 1,000. Look at your hands. Look at your hands, please. Open your hands. On one hand, you have 81. You have an upside down V and a 1. Yes? On the other hand, you have a 1 and a V. In the Arabic language, 81 and 18. Add them together. What do they say? 99. And there are 81 names of Allah mentioned in the Quran. Go check them. It's on your hands. You don't have to go anywhere else. You just have to look down at your hands. 18 are not in the Quran, but they've been included in the 99. Ulama differ. You will see. Have you heard these, no? The rhymes on Asma'ul Husna or the Nasheed. Have you heard it? Yeah, you all sing it in your homes. Okay, you don't sing it. You chant it. Yes? You chant that Nasheed. Forgot to say, can't say sing, can I? Okay. But sing is actually doing something with a religious voice, right? So if you look at them, they differ. It's like Laylatul Qadr. You don't know when it is. It's in the last 10 nights. You've got to look for these 99 names. But what you have here is what most people agree with, that these are the 99
names. These actually give us some sort of start into knowing what Allah is. So now they're inside me. How do I progress from here? What do I do? First of all, it's to be able to see Allah everywhere. You know, Imam Ali was asked, do you actually believe in a God you can't see? He said, no. I see God before me, behind me, above me, below me, and all around me. What did he mean? What does that mean? It means he saw the attributes of the Creator in absolutely everything. Let me take one simple thing. What I've done today was just have an introduction to you and say you're praying. Yes? Salam. We all pray, inshallah. 5 times a day? Okay, 5 prayers, 3 times a day. But you should pray 5 times a day. Okay, 5 prayers. So in your 5 prayers, what do you start with? Okay, I'm going to have this session with you. You start with Takbiratul Ihram. What do you say in Takbiratul Ihram? Allahu Akbar. What's the name of Allah there? Allah. In Takbir, there are 2 names. Look at your chart. One of them is Mutakabbir, and one of them is Kabir. You need to know these numbers. This is a number lock. By the way, your passwords should reflect what is in here. So the number lock, you've got Kabir, you've got Mutakabbir, and just to make it easier for you, Kabir is 37, Mutakabbir is number 10. You can look. Okay. After that, what do you do? Suratul Fatiha. In Suratul Fatiha, what do you say? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What are the names of Allah there? Rahman and Rahim. What numbers are those? Number 1 and number 2. Maybe we'll have a lesson on numerology. Then what do you say? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. There's a name of Allah called Hamid, one who is praiseworthy. Yes? Rab is not part of the 99 names. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then what is it? Maliki Yawmiddin. What number is Malik or Malik? Come on, quick. Look at your charts. What is Malik or Malik? Number 3. So can you see how these names come out, right? And then you may have Suratul Ikhlas. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allah was samad. Ahad. Find it. Especially those of you who are younger. What number is ahad? 67. What number is samad? 68. You are able to see an attribute in everything you do. And then you go into ruku and what do you say? Subhana rabbiyal azimi wa bi hamdi. What name of Allah? Al-azim. What does it mean? That's number 33. Yes? Then you go into sujda. Subhana rabbiyal a'ala. And there's a name of Allah which is called Ali. Quite easy to remember. Ali is number 36. What surah number is Yasin? 36. And what is 36? What is Yasin? Qalbul Quran. The heart of the Quran. Where does Ali reside? In your heart. Can you remember 36 now? So when you go into sajda and say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bi hamdi, you're looking at Ali. Then you sit in the middle and you say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. What comes in your head? Ghafar, Ghafur, Tawwab, and Af. Look it up. Look at the numbers that you've got up there for these, okay? You've got 14, you've got 34, you've got 80, you've got 82. They're green, by the way. You don't have to look for numbers. All the green ones are istighfar. So when you're praying, these Asma'ul Husna should pop up into your head. Did he not say, what was the surah number, by the way? Surah number 7. Ayah number? Oh, come on. 180. What did he say? Walillahi Asma'ul Husna. Fad'uhu biha. Call him by them. And then you stand up, what do you say? Bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu. Akul, what is the name of Allah you're looking for there? Kawi, you want strength to be able to get up. So where is Kawi? Find me the number. Where is Kawi? Where does it say Kawi? 53? Well done. Okay. And then you go finish with the Shahud and Salam. There is a name of Allah called Shaheed. I think it's number 50 if I'm not mistaken. And then Salam is number 5. And then you read Salatul Jama'ah. There is a name of Allah called Jami'ah, the one who brings together. Look at that name. Where is it? Is it 87? I think it's 87 if I'm not mistaken. So this is one methodology of learning those names. At least starting off by learning them. Just repeating them. being able to see Allah in absolutely every aspect of your life is where we're going to get to. That's how you fall in love with someone. You don't fall in love with a profile or a picture. You don't do that. We run an organization called Cupid, Q-P-I-D, where we do matchmaking. And 90% of the time, when we send a profile or a picture to someone, they look at it and they say no. But Baba, go and meet them. By looking at a picture or looking at a profile, how do you know what that person is like? Just go see them. No. This doesn't click with me. Sorry, it's the young people I'm getting to here. This doesn't click with me. What does that mean? How are you going to know who this person is like unless you meet them? Meeting them doesn't mean you will marry them. But meet them. Find out about them. Right? We were a bit funky before, in my time and people before me. We had these arranged marriages. Did you have that? Okay, don't answer. Don't answer. Okay. And we got to know this person, and by the time you got to know him, you had grandchildren. So you thought, well, can't do much about it. These people today have the opportunity to find out well before. So with Allah, sorry, it diverted a little bit there. Well before. So here, basically, we've got to learn is how are we going to get to know Allah? We will never know him, because whatever we think of him, he is much better. In Hadith al-Qudsi, he says, I am what my Abd thinks of me. If you think of him as something small, he will remain small for you. But he is absolutely phenomenal, as we will see in all the names that we are going to go through, I hope, within the next 9 days. But there is a methodology of using it. You can't just, let me give you an example. So say for example, who do we have a king now. We don't have a queen anymore, do we? Okay. So say for example, King Charles one day said he wanted to come to Bustan-e-Zahra for a majlis. All right, Camilla, because we can't have India, right? So say she wanted to come. I don't know what you call it. You call her Queen Camilla. Okay, so Queen Camilla wanted to come in for a majlis. Yes. I can guarantee you, you won't be looking at me, you'll be looking at her. But you're not going to say, hey, Camilla, come and sit here. Are you going to do that? That's a human being, you're not. You're going to say, ma'am, you're going to curtsy, you're going to say, you know, whatever. Are you not? Yes. There is a methodology. In the same way, when you want to ask Allah for something, did he not say in the ayah, fad'uhu biha, use these names to call me. You've got to use the right name to be able to call him. That's why I said learn them. So let me pick Sulaiman. You know Sulaiman, yeah? It's Prophet Sulaiman. Phenomenal personality. Sulaiman had the most awesome, awesome kingdom. Nobody has a kingdom like him. Surah number 38, ayah 35. Look it up, alright? So he says, Rabbi Firi, the first thing he says are forgiveness. Wahabli mulkan, grant me a kingdom that you have given no one. So he's got to use the right name, right? The name he uses is Innaka antal Wahhab. Go look in your chart for Wahhab. Wahhab is the one who grants you gifts, who gives you beyond what you deserve, who gives you something that you did not earn. A gift is something you don't earn. A gift is something somebody bestows on you. So when you and I want something from Allah, we've got to find the right combination or learn all of them and spray and pray. Right? Use the whole lot and say, well, pick what you like from there. It's like a little girl. She was praying and her grandfather was standing. And she finished her namaz. And on her musalla, she was going, Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, Jim, Ha, Ha, Da, Tha, Ra, Za. And her grandfather said, Linda, what are you doing? Why are you reciting the alphabet? And she said, look, I don't know these long du'as. I'm sure God can put them together. He knows exactly what I'm looking for. Right? We can't do that because we're adults. We're understanding. We know what we're going to do. So we've got to find the right combination. Today, I'm going to go through one name. And the name I'm going to look at is Allah. It's not part of the 99. If you look at your chart, it's right at the corner. Because Allah, in essence, is an Isme A'zam. It's a combination of all 99 names. If all 99 names were melted into a pot, Allah would come out. So let's just talk about it first. Introduction to Allah, Surah Al-Ikhlas. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. You recite that surah 3 times, it's like finishing the whole Quran. Okay. Okay. But the prophet, one day, this companion comes to him and says, Ya Rasulullah, what is the best ayah of the Quran? Now that's quite a difficult thing to say. The prophet said, you tell me. He said, Ayatul Kursi. And the prophet patted him on his back. Now the prophet didn't sleep without reciting Ayatul Kursi. Didn't wake up without reciting Ayatul Kursi. And after every salah, he recited Ayatul Kursi, which is 7 times a day. Because that's an introduction to who Allah is. I don't have time to go through Ayatul Kursi, but I'm just going to give you some examples. It's the most mentioned name in the Quran. 2,816 times. If you want a surah of Quran that has Allah in every ayah, it's Surah Al-Mujadila. If you're going through a hard time in life, read Surah Al-Mujadila. Because for that particular woman, my goodness, a whole law was changed. It's Surah number 58, by the way. Okay. But we're on the name Allah. So let me pick a random person. Let me pick somebody who's most mentioned in the Quran. Prophet Musa. You know why he's most mentioned? Because he talked a lot. Talked to Allah a lot. Just chatted his life away, which you and I should do. Right? Surah number 20, Surah Taha, ayah 14. So Musa is with his family. He's cold, it's a winter's night, and he's looking for some comfort. And he sees a light in the distance and says, wait, tells his wife, Safura, wait. Wait here, don't go, she's heavily pregnant. He says, wait, I'll go and see who that is. He goes up Mount Sinai. Now you can imagine this guy, he's not expecting this. And suddenly he's told, take your shoes off. This is a sacred place. And he's sort of, oh my goodness. And then from the fire, a voice comes. Innani ana Allah. I am Allah. This is Quran, read it. La ilaha illa ana. There is no God but me. Fa'budhuni wa aqimis salati li dhikri. Get attached to me. Be my servant. Now, I'm going to come to this in a minute. And remember me through salah. Establish salah to be my remembrance. Problem with you and me, we've read too many history books. The moment somebody says master and slave, because tomorrow we'll talk about Rab, inshallah, we think, oh God, a slave is somebody who is, oh God, no, we don't want that. This is not talking about the same master-slave that you read in history books. This is a loving master, and we'll talk about him tomorrow, what Rab is. We've got to change our perception completely. It is this strength that Musa had when he went to Fir'aun. He kept on thinking of that name. Innani anal. Allah is with me. Why am I worried? Why should I worry about absolutely anybody who's there? I'll give you another story before we go on to what we have to. A woman loses her child in Medina. And there is no such thing as in Medina when somebody loses their child. There is no lost and found. There is no police who will come and find the child and put it up. You know, you all know about Madeleine McCann. You've heard about her, haven't you? And it really makes you sad that a mother and father have to lose a child like that. She loses her child. And then days later, she finds her child. What did she do? She ran to her child. She hugged her child. Tears streaming down her face because she didn't know she'd ever see her child again. And the prophet is sitting there. He tells the companions, would she ever put that child into the fire? Would she throw that child into the fire? Are you sure? But the child was naughty, ran away. The child didn't think of her mom. But mom just was happy the child was. And they said, Bala ya Rasulullah, no. The mother would never do that to the child. So he said, Allah has more mercy than that mother has to that child. Take it out of your head that he wants to throw you and me in the fire. He doesn't want to do that. He just wants you and me to know him, to love him through his attributes. That's all he wants. He wants you and me to reach our full potential. That's what he wants to do. The name Allah. So let's go through a little bit of closeness. Very often we say, where are you, Allah? What am I going through? You're not seeing what I'm going through. Quran, wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. He's with you wherever you are. 57:4. Okay, I'll go through all these ayat if you want. Wa nahnu aqrabu ilayhi min hablil warid. You know that, don't you? We are closer to you than your life vein, your jugular vein. So what is he saying? If Allah Musa, I'll go back to Musa right here. Musa, Malakul Maud comes and says, Musa, time up, you have to go. So Musa in his head is thinking, who's going to look after my 5-year-old daughter? If I go, that's the first thing that comes to his head. Allah says to Malakul Maud, wait, let's take him back to the Red Sea. Musa hit the Red Sea, and a path came up, came to the middle of the Red Sea. Musa, what do you see? I see a stone. Musa, pick the stone up. Oh, okay. Musa, what do you see in the stone? A hole. Musa, what's inside the hole? An insect. So Musa, if I can look after an insect in a stone at the bottom of the sea, you don't think I can look after your daughter? So you and me, when we are hurt, when something is hurting us, do you think he does not see the pain? If he can see a black rock, a black ant on a black rock on a black night, you think he can't see you and my pain? No? You think he's forgotten us? That's how close Allah is to you and me. I talked about mercy and how good he was. So now the moment you think of Allah, think of five things. You got five fingers, right? How many names you had on here? 81. And on the other one? 18. Five things. Okay, let's start with Allah. Five things. First, Allah is awesome. Are you good with that? Greater than anything you can ever imagine. Number two, he's the one you hide behind. Got issues? You can't remember any of these names? Ya Allah, it is Isme Adam. And not Yalla. La 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 la. We are not Khojas or Pakistanis or Indians here, okay? We are Ya Allah. Fill your mouth. Ya Allah. Let's talk about it. If somebody called me, I have a long name. My name is Ummul Baneen. I used to hate school first day. First day in class was awful. Because they would say, what? Who is that name? Because it's long. So in the same way, if somebody pronounced my name the right way, it would make me feel, okay, this is my creator, your creator. So Ya Allah. Okay, fill your mouth. Ya Allah. One you hide behind. Number three, he's the one you go to. Anything at all. Ya Allah first. He's the one you go to first. Then he will find the one and the one. You all know the story of Musa again, right? Musa has a tummy ache. Really bad tummy ache, going up the mountain. Runs up the mountain. Halfway up the mountain, there's a tabib, a doctor. Doctor says, Musa, what's the matter, Ya Nabi Allah? You've looked pain. He says, I got tummy ache. He said, come on, give me medicine. He said, la, 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 I go to Allah. Goes right up, Ya Allah, my stomach's hurting. He said, I sent you a doctor. Are you coming to me? So, dawa and dua. But your first place is go to. Number four, Allah means extreme love. I'm not going to go to the Arabic polemics, but it actually means extreme love. And number five, Imam Hussein. We just finished Dua Arafah. Have you finished Yawmi Arafah? Did you read Dua Arafah? So one extract from it. Imam Hussein tells Allah, Ya Allah, who is the one? Or he says, what did he find who lost you? And what did he lose who found you? Right? It's a beautiful thing. Once you find Allah in your heart, you don't need anybody else. So today, before tomorrow, inshallah, if I see you here, you will recite Ya Allah as many times as possible. Can you do that? Ya Allah. Not much. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Make a whole list of what you want. And write down, Ya Allah, khalas, that's it. That's all you need to do. Okay, now Muharram. First of Muharram, I say this all the time. Repeat it as whatever. Hopefully you're fasting. If you're not, then the 9 days, the first 9 days, mustahab to fast. Lots of ahadith, Imam Radat Rehan, are you fasting? He said, no. Imam Radat is telling him, did you know this is the day that Zakaria prayed to his Rabb? What did he say? Rabbi habni min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka samiul du'a. Zakaria is how old? 75. And he's asking for a son. If somebody was 75 here asked for a son, what would we say? What is wrong with you? But he asked for a son then. So you want the impossible to become possible today? What was that name you were going to say? Ya Allah. And ask him. That's number one. Number two, azadari. Azar is Arabic for grief or mourning. Dari is Farsi. I don't know how we put those two together. We said Azar that. And in the mourning of Hussein as such, there's lots of cultural differences. People do things differently. Doesn't make one better than the other. All I'm trying to say is that these 10 days, let's try and respect who Hussein was, what this is about. Majlis means a gathering where you sit down. What is a majlis for? It's a reminder. You understand your purpose of life. Hopefully we will understand Asma'ul Husna. Hopefully it's not merely a ritual. You didn't say, oh, I got to a majlis and that's it. That's not what it's about. I was telling somebody in the car today, I don't think anybody appreciates the amount of time it takes to speak. I mean, I'm a student, you have an expert over there, okay? But when people come and sit here, it takes us at least six to 7 to 8 hours to talk like this. It's hard work. And when I look around, I think, oh my goodness, I don't know anything. And I don't, literally don't, okay? So to be able to just take a little bit of what we're saying, because we're trying hard, we're changing ourselves first. Marfia, my goodness, it's amazing. So Imam Sadiq, he's sitting with a group of people, Ja'far ibn Affan walks in, and he says, Ja'far, I understand that you read eulogies, or rather poems, in the name of Hussein. And he said, yes. And Imam said, come sit down, read. And when he recited, everybody's got tears in their eyes. And Imam tells him, oh Ja'far, the angels close to Allah have descended here and heard your verses. These are his words. And wept like us. Allah has reserved Jannah for you at this very moment and forgiven your sins. Now, it means marthiyas or poetry that is right, not wrong. Okay, so we've got to get our facts right when we recite. Sometimes we just, in Gujarati, we say pare, 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 pare. We don't see what we are reciting. So make sure that the words are right. Do you have a mindil with you? A handkerchief. You need to have a mindil, a handkerchief. Because these handkerchiefs, say the Fatima collects your tears. Your knees are hurting, your feet are hurting. Cry, and then put it in that place and see the difference it makes. It is shafa. Make sure when you die, and everybody's got to die at some point, make sure in your will you say, bury my Rumal-e-Fatima or my Mindil. Mindil is the Arabic for handkerchief, with me. I'm just going through some bits. Matam. Very often, when people beat their chest, oh my goodness, we have so much palaver about it. It's phenomenal. It's the only thing that differentiates you and me as being a zadar of Imam Hussein. I know a speaker who mentioned this, about how when his teacher was telling him that when his teacher went to Moscow, he saw when people stood up to do matam, as you call it. You call it matam, right? Like me, it's when you do matam. They first, for the first 2 or 3 minutes, they would put their hands inside their shirts and very slowly just beat their chests. And then they would do matam loudly. And the man said, why do you do that? Why do you hide like that? He said, because our parents were in a time when they were not allowed to do azadari. So our parents would tell us at home, put your hands inside your shirts and very softly beat your chests. This now, although we're allowed to do it now, it is a tribute to our parents who taught us the love of Hussein. Okay? So matam is love of Hussein. Processions, what are they? It's to tell the world what it's about. You know, very many times I've young people tell me, well, why Alam, you've got some Alams there, some Shabis, I don't know, whatever we have. Why? Why? And I tell them, how come that when 9/11 happened, awful, awful incident, when they couldn't find the bodies of the people, the families took empty coffins, they got a fire engine to bring those coffins and bury them as symbolic gestures of burying their loved ones. So now when we do it, what is the problem? We're not worshipping them. They're not gods to us. They're just a reminder of those who stood up for the truth. So it's really important to understand why we do some things and how we do them. Okay. So I'm not going to go into Masaib as such. All I'm going to do is give you some historical facts and we'll end. So let's look at history. Because when the marfiyas are recited, you cry, you will have an awesome zakira who will recite to you in audio and you'll be able to listen to Masaib. But this is important that we know a little bit of history. So 6 months before Muharram, Imam is in Medina. Muawiyah dies, Yazid comes up. And Yazid tells the governor, Walid ibn Utbah, I want Hussein to pay allegiance to me. I want him to say that I pay allegiance. Imam says, I can't do that. Imam leaves Medina in Rajab. Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. Imam goes to Makkah and he stays there for a few months. When he's in Makkah, it's very short, there's a long thing, but I'm giving you a short version. When he's in Makkah, these people from Kufa, four people come and say, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, we want you to come to Kufa. Come to Kufa, be our Imam there. Imam says, okay, I'll come to Kufa. So Imam leaves, taking his whole family, everybody, and they go towards Kufa. As they are going towards Kufa, there is a message that goes to Yazid that says, Imam is going towards Kufa. And people in Kufa are really dead. They're all waiting for him. Right? Yazid takes some advice. He takes his advice from his counselors who tell him, shall we tell you what your father would have done? He would have removed the governor of Kufa and he would put a governor who is far more stronger. Now before Imam leaves, by the way, he says an ambassador, you all know this, Muslim ibn Aqil. And when Muslim ibn Aqil is there, he tells Imam, the people of Kufa are waiting for you. So the person who is in charge of Kufa is changed to Ibn Ziyad. This is historical, you've got to know it, and I'll tell you why, you repeat it all the time. So Ibn Ziyad becomes he's appointed him. Now people have not seen Imam Hussein for a long time. So Ibn Ziyad enters Kufa with a niqab. He wears a COVID mask, right? So you don't recognize him. And when he enters Kufa, oh my goodness, they say, this isn't Hussein, this is Ibn Ziyad. And he rains terror on them. He kills Muslim ibn Aqil, Hani ibn Urwa, anybody who's a Shia, he kills them, he beheads them. So Imam is on his way to Kufa. Who intercepts Imam? Hur, and we'll talk about Hur. He said, Hur is sent to intercept Imam. You all know the story, and we'll keep on repeating it. But that is basically the basis of how Imam ends up being diverted to Karbala. And I'll tell you how there were so many conversations that Imam had. Now, one of the people whom you probably know, who was very intelligent, was Umar ibn Sa'd. You heard about him. Had his conversations with Imam, negotiations with Imam. And Imam agreed. You know what? Leave me alone. Let me go to Kufa. They said no. Imam said, okay, then let me go home. I will go home. I don't want to enter into this conflict. So Umar ibn Sa'd sends a message to Ibn Ziyad and he says, you know what? Hussein has agreed. We've come to a conclusion. He will go home. He will not interfere in politics. And Hussein is gonna talk to Yazid and they'll have a conversation. Ibn Ziyad is convinced. But Shimmer says, that is never going to happen. Never going to happen. He will die here. We will have to kill him, otherwise this is not going to happen. So this is historical facts that we listen or we hear about, but because they're reading Messiah, we sometimes overlook them. All I need you to do is close your eyes for a minute and just imagine the arrival of the Ahlul Bayt in Karbala. So they arrive there. Imam says, what is the name of this place? And somebody says, the different words, Nenua or Qaradiyya or whatever name. He says, no, there is another name for this. And then somebody says, a Bedouin is passing by. Or somebody says, go ask this person who knows history, whatever the case might be. And he says, Karbala. And Imam says, this is the place. We will stay here. I'd like you to just imagine how Sayyidah Zainab felt when the tents are laid down. And she says, I don't feel at ease. I can hear a woman crying. I don't know what's happening. She calls her brother and she says, what is this? What is this place? I can smell blood in the sand. I can hear this woman crying. And he says, you know what that is? That is Mama. That is your mom and my mom. She's crying for Zainab. It is here that we will be resting for the rest of our lives. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sayya'lamuna alladhina dhalamu ayyuhum qalibun yanqalibun. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be able to understand that Asma'ul Husna, to be able to know these names so that we enter Jannah, whether it's QBZ or BZ or whatever it is, but to enter together knowing Asma'ul Husna. And we're here to help each other, inshallah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك